Please turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. We're going to be looking at verse 6, verse 21. And verse 25. Proverbs is right after Psalms. If you open your Bible to the middle, you usually get Psalms, and then just turn a few pages over to the right and you'll find Proverbs. We're in the big number, that's the chapter 17, and then the small numbers, the verses 6, 21, and 25. So Proverbs 17, beginning in verse 6. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. Verse 21. He who sires a fool gets himself sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. And verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her who bore him. Father, we pray that you would take away all distractions that would lead us from not thinking about these Proverbs as we should. We pray, Lord God, that this morning that we would hear from you. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be at work in our midst, that you would use our time together by your Spirit and through the Word of God to make us the kind of fathers and mothers and parents and children that you want us to be. We ask, oh God, that you would keep the devil away from us, from plucking up the Word. We pray that you would make our hearts good soil, that we would not be thorny soil or rocky soil, but we would have good hearts to receive the Word and bear fruit 100-fold. Father, we pray that we would hear in love and that I would preach in love, true love for all of these beautiful people here before me. And so help us, God. May we hear from you. May we be changed by you. May foolish sons be saved today. May parents who are not living as they should grow in the way that they discipline and teach and lead their families. Lord, have your way with us and remind us of Jesus, who saves us from the wrath to come. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Amen.
What does God's wisdom look like in the family? This is what these Proverbs address this morning. So many of the great problems in our world are not due to government failures or systemic racism or lack of money or lack of resources, but because of the breakdown of the family. Specifically, the Christian, God-fearing family. And yes, I know the problem is sin, but God has means by which He deals with sin. And that great means is the gospel. But He's ordained that the family be one of, if not the primary means by which you pass down the gospel and the Word of God to your children.
That's right.
Vody Bakum writes in his book, Family Shepherds, the family is the cornerstone of society. It has been said that as goes the family, so goes the world. It can also be said that as goes the father, so goes the family. And there is an emphasis in these Proverbs on the father leading the family. And that's for a reason, because God has called fathers to be the head and leader of their homes. And I realize some of our families don't have fathers. And so the mothers, where there's no fathers, you have to take up that burden. But I also want you to know it ought not to be that way. That's not how God designed it. And so you're already starting out behind the curve. And therefore your work, your labor, your diligence, your prayers, you're getting your children in the life of the church where there are fathers is all the more important. The point of these Proverbs, God's wisdom leads to wise, godly parents who have wise, godly children who honor their parents and grandparents. God's wisdom leads to wise, godly parents who have wise, godly children who honor their parents and grandparents. So first, notice that multiple godly generations are an honor to the family and to God. Multiple godly generations are an honor to the family and to God. Look again at the first part of Proverbs 17:6. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged. What is a crown? What is a crown? A crown is what a king or a queen wears on their head, right? The symbol of a crown is used various ways in the Bible. Crowns in the Bible represent authority and kingship. They represent victory and triumph. They represent honor and reward. They represent righteousness and holiness and a spiritual godly legacy. And so in the case of our text today, the crown represents honor and reward and spiritual godly legacy. Children and grandchildren who follow Jesus are the honor, the reward, and spiritual godly legacy of the aged parents and grandparents. Beloved, notice that family is very important to God. Godly legacy is very important to God. We saw that in Dr. Michael's message in Malachi, Malachi 2:15. What was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. And I remember being at Together for the Gospel one year, thousands and thousands of people and pastors, and Mark Dever asked the question how different people got saved. And the overwhelming majority of people who had been saved were saved through the transmission of the gospel by their families. Yeah. Yes, we go to Broadnawny and preach. Yes, we hand out tracts. Yes, we share the gospel. Yes, we want adults to come to Christ. But it is amazing how God has ordained the family as a means for the salvation of the children. And those children are a crown to parents and grandparents. John Kitchen writes, this proverb pictures the ideal relationship between three succeeding generations. The elderly man finds a crown of reward and honor in being surrounded by grandchildren. His life has mattered. It continues on, in a sense, through the succeeding generations. He has not only raised up godly sons and daughters, but he has raised them up to raise up the same kind of children. There is hope for the future. Beloved, children and grandchildren are a blessing and gift from God. They're a gift from God. As I read in Kevin and Hannah's letter, Psalm 127, 3 through 5, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. You young people, pray that God would give you a quiver full.
Amen.
A quiver full. Many children, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12.
Yes.
15, 20, says Sister Tanya. As someone has recently said, have more children than you can afford. And sharpen them with the Word of God in prayer that they might be arrows to be sent out into this world, this wicked, evil, godless, Christ-hating world.
Amen.
We need to outbreed the wicked.
Amen.
children are a blessing from the Lord, and we should never speak of children the way the world speaks of children.
Amen.
We have to take God's view of children.
That's right.
And God's children is not that children are a blessing, that children mess up my economics, that children are I don't get any sleep when I have children, and oh, how bad children are. No, we take God's view of children. And God says they're a blessing. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full. Children are a gift from God.
Yes.
Children are a gift from God. This is clear throughout Scripture that it is God who is sovereign over the womb and opens and closes the womb. Genesis 4:1, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord.
Yeah.
No, it's just not biology. It's just not how things work. God has to give it.
Yes.
God has to give the child. Genesis 4:25, Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. And she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. Genesis 29:31, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb.
Yes.
But Rachel was barren. Genesis 30:22, then God remembered Rachel and listened to her and opened her womb. God is sovereign over the opening and closing of the womb. Children are a gift from God. Psalm 113:9, He gives the barren woman a home,
yes,
making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
And under the old covenant, it was a curse to be barren. Jeremiah 22:30, thus says the Lord, write this man down as childless, a man who shall not succeed in his days, for none of his offspring shall succeed in sitting on the throne of David and ruling again in Judah. But beloved, I want you to know this morning, and for me to preach this sermon, I'd already written all this before I found out about Kevin and Hannah. So knowing this now, it just gives me a sweetness about preaching this. There is hope for the barren woman. There is hope for the barren woman. Think about all the barren women in the Bible that God then gives birth, gives conception and gives birth to show it's all about Him. It's all about His power, that He's the one that does the impossible, that God is doing this, God is giving this. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, Zechariah, and Elizabeth, and ultimately Mary, the virgin who bore Jesus. If you're barren this morning, if you long for children and can't for some reason or another, maybe even you're single, take heart that God uses the barren womb for His glory.
Yes.
You're in good company with the most famous families in all of redemptive history who've had the most important children in all the world. Take Isaiah 54:1 to heart. Sing, O barren one who did not bear.
Yes.
Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord.
Yes.
Beloved, the biologically barren or single person can have spiritual children through evangelism and discipleship.
That's right.
Bruce Waltke writes about this in his commentary on this proverb. By contrasting the curse of barren woman in the Old Covenant, in the New Covenant dispensation, Jesus Christ, who had no biological children, that's good to remember. The greatest man who ever lived had no biological children. He blessed the church to reproduce spiritually, not physically. And so we have the Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so if you're here this morning and you're barren or you're single and can't have children, know this, you can have children, spiritual children. 1 Corinthians 4:15, Paul wrote, for I have become your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. 1 Timothy 1:2, Paul wrote to Timothy, my true child in the faith. And Paul describes believers as his crown. You notice that in our proverb, the children are the crown of the aged. But listen to how Paul writes in Philippians 4:1, "My brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." Or 1 Thessalonians 2:19 through 20, "For what is your hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy." And so take heart. We can all have children through the ministry of the gospel. And we want to make disciples who make disciples. Notice this multi-generational aspect of Proverbs 17:6. It's the grandchildren. That means the parents have raised faithful children who have had children who are faithful. And beloved, we see that same emphasis on how we are to disciple others. We're to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And so in your discipleship of other people, do you teach them to disciple other people? In your evangelism to other people, once they come to Christ, do you teach them they need to evangelize to others? Beloved, if we're not making disciples of other people and evangelizing other people, what do you mean to say that you're a Christian? 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 2, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Beloved, multiple godly generations are an honor to the family and to God. And we see that in Scripture in the biological family and in the spiritual church family. God's wisdom leads to wise, godly parents who have wise, godly children who honor their parents and grandparents. Notice in the second part of this proverb, Proverbs 17:6, that fathers are the joy and delight of their children. Fathers are the joy and delight of their children. Look again at Proverbs 17:6, the second part of the verse. "And the glory of children is their fathers." What does that mean? The glory of children is their fathers. What does it mean to glory in something? It means to boast in something, to take pride in something, to delight in something. And so the glory, the boast, the pride, the delight of wise, godly children is their father. He is the one who gave you life. He is the one who provides for you, protects you, loves you, and cares for you. Children, don't take that for granted. Don't take that for granted that your father gave you life. If you need a reason to respect and honor him, he gave you life. Some children think that their parents need to act a certain way to get honor. Children, I'm going to warn you, if you don't honor your parents, life will not go well for you. God will get you. If you don't honor your parents, and it doesn't matter if they're honorable. It doesn't matter if they're living up to the standard you think they should live up to. You honor mommy and daddy, or God going to get you. And your life will go horribly. You honor mommy and daddy. Mommy and daddy gave you life. And if that's all they ever do for you, that's enough, children. And there's going to be more on that later. I'll show you in the Bible where it says God going to get you if you don't honor mommy and daddy. The glory, the boast, the pride, the delight of wise, godly children is their father. He is the one who gave you life. He is the one who provides for you, protects you, loves you, cares for you. Children, do you ever thank mom and dad for giving you food, or do you just think that, oh, that's what comes with the deal? Don't take that for granted. They put clothes on your back, shelter, a roof over your head, food on your plate. You should be thanking mom and daddy. He is the one who shows you what it means to love your mother and lay down his life for her daily. He is the one who brought you to church, who taught you God's word in family worship and gave you an example of love for God and his word and his church. He is the one who spent time with you and played with you and taught you how to play baseball or ride a bike or whatever hobby your dad taught you. He is the one who taught you what to look for in a godly man. Ladies, I love the story that Vodi Bakum tells. He would have his son was to treat his daughter and her, you know, the son's sister, very special way. Pull out the chair for her. Son, you pull out the chair for your daughter, Jasmine. You open the door for her, son. Son, when you're walking down on the sidewalk, you walk on the side next to the street, so if a car, it'll hit you and you protect her. You treat your daughter, your sister, like a princess. He trained his son to treat his daughters that way. Why is that? Bodhi said, because I want her to be so trained in how a woman is to be treated that she won't even think twice about the bums that try to come and ask her on a date.
Amen.
This is what her father did for her. And if you didn't have a dad like that, if you don't have a dad like that, and quite frankly, what I just said was a high bar. All your dads are sinners. All your dads are going to fail. But if you didn't have a dad, a godly dad, to give you an example like that, I want you to know that God is your perfect heavenly Father.
Yes.
And there are men like that in this church who will be a godly father to you. And again, beloved, I would say if you're in a home where there's no father, that makes it even more desperately needed that you bring your children in the fellowship of this church so that godly men can be in your child's life. Because that's one of the things the church is for. He will give more fathers and mothers in the church. John Kitchen writes, while line one witnesses the pride running from elderly to the youth, the second line pictures it flowing the opposite direction. Children find great honor in having an honorable father. The glory of children is their fathers. The boast, the delight, the glory of children is their fathers. And beloved, I want you to hear what Jasmine Holmes wrote about Vodhi Bakum after he died. Jasmine Holmes is Vodhi's daughter. And she, her first post about this that I know of publicly on her Instagram account is this. Nothing can prepare you for losing your dad. And mourning a dad who's a public figure is like living in the twilight zone. My timeline is full of posts about people who loved him and were influenced by him. And I don't doubt that love is genuine. But watching others mourn so publicly is the oddest sensation. They saw him on a screen or in a pulpit, heard his voice on the radio. He tucked me in every night and told the best bedtime stories. They saw him as this bold, staunch defender of the gospel. I saw him as socks with flip-flops making gumbo on New Year's Eve. He influenced them from afar. He walked me down the aisle and used to mind meld with me and whoop everybody in a game of taboo. He raised me day in, day out, messy and imperfect, but so very steady and consistent. They lost someone they admired. I've lost part of me. They posted even before I did because I couldn't make my limbs work because I'd forgotten how to breathe. For me, it's not all of our godly preachers are dying, or I sure will miss his powerful voice for Jesus. For me, I just miss my daddy. Beloved, that is a tribute when there, and even in church history, there have been so many men who have had these great ministries who reach thousands and hundred thousands of people, but their home life is a wreck. And their marriage is a wreck. But this tribute, this shows that Vodhi's the same man in the pulpit and in the ministry that he is at home.
Yes.
And that's what God calls godly men to be. And it is clear from her words that this man is a crown to her. And she's going to miss him. And so, children, you ought to want to have your father and your mother as a crown like that. And fathers and mothers, you all want to be like this for your children. How does this proverb happen? It happens supernaturally. None of this can happen without the supernatural power of God in both parents and children. Malachi 4:6 says, He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Beloved, this kind of thing can't happen. This kind of thing can't happen in a family unless parents and children are born again. And so, friend, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I pray that God would change you forever this morning. You need to know that you are a fool. The Proverbs have two kinds of people, foolish and wise. And we're all born fools. We're all born selfish. We're all born thinking we know better than our parents. What do these parents know, these old fuddy-duddies? They're old. They can't even use a smartphone. They don't know anything. That's foolish. Children are the foolish ones. Your parents have lived life. They've seen a few things. They have a few more years on you. But we're all born that way. We're all born this way. We're born foolish, selfish sinners who deserve God's wrath and judgment in hell forever. But God loves fools. He loves sinners. He loves those who reject Him, who spit in His face, who have nothing to do with Him, who reject Him, reject Him, reject Him. And He sent His Son to live a perfect life and to die on that cross to suffer God's wrath that fools deserve. And He died and was buried. On the third day, He rose from the dead. And if you repent, if you turn from your foolishness, if you turn from your sin, if you turn from belittling your parents and ask for forgiveness, He'll forgive you. He'll forgive you and save you and change you and give you eyes to see, actually, I'm the fool. Oh, how I played the fool. I remember one of the first things God did in my conversion, besides, you know, putting in me a desire to tell other people, I hadn't had a relationship with my biological father for 10 years. My parents got divorced when I was about 6 years old, and my dad did some things that scared me, and I didn't want anything to do with him. I would run away. He would come. I was in the park playing as a kid, and he would come, and I would run home as fast as I could. I would play in soccer and basketball games, and he would come, and I would see him in the crowd, and I would panic, and I would leave. I would quit. And he would send me gifts, and my mom, as a good mom is, you're going to write him a thank you note or call him and thank you, or you're not going to receive the gift. Take note, moms.
Amen.
Teach your kids to be thankful, because they will actually be thankful from the heart when they're grown up. Make them write the note, whether they want to or not. We're training them to be Christians.
Amen.
And so I didn't want to have any contact, so I stopped taking anything. And then I got saved. And when I got saved, God began to convict me. You honor your father. You honor him. It doesn't matter if he's honorable or not. You honor him, Joseph. And so things began to change. God changes us. When we get saved, we lay down our foolish ways and we begin to walk in the ways of God. Friend, do you know Christ? You can't do that unless God saves you. You can't live the Christian life unless God saves you. And He sent His Son to die for you and to rise for you. And He calls you to turn from your sins, to repent. If you're listening to this and you think maybe your heart's dead toward God, pray, God, convict me of my sin. Show me whether what this man's saying is true. Show me your truth. Open my eyes. Holy Spirit, come and show me my sin. And cry out to God for mercy. Because God has to change you. He has to supernaturally change your heart and change your mind and save you, that you might live these proverbs out by the power of His Spirit. And so believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough. You can't be a good enough parent. You can't parent your way into heaven. You can't be a good enough child to earn heaven. You have to cry out to God, I have no hope, Lord. I have no hope as a parent. No hope as a child to be what you call me to be. I'm a sinner. I've blown it multiple times. Lord, save me, help me, change me, and help me walk in obedience and repentance. It's by faith alone, in Christ alone. And so cry out to Him and be saved, all the ends of the earth. If that's you, I'd love to talk with you afterwards. I'll be here. Find another Christian and speak to them. We want you to be saved so that you can obey these Proverbs by the power of the Spirit. Third point. Fathers are the joy and delight of their children. That's point number two. Point number three, what kind of grandparents are crowned and what kind of parents are a glory? What kind of grandparents are crowned and what kind of parents are a glory to their children? Well, fathers who provide, protect, and love their children. Fathers are called to provide for their children, 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. 2 Corinthians 12:14, I will not be a burden, for I seek not what is yours, but you. For children are not obligated to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Fathers provide, protect, and love. I had no interest in having a firearm as a single man. If they come in and kill me, I go to Jesus. But I tell you this, when mercy comes and lives in my home, I'm going to be ready because ain't nobody going to touch her. Fathers provide, protect, and love their children. Fathers who love their wives as Christ loves the church are the ones that are honored. Fathers are to love their wives as Christ loves the church. Children should be seeing what it means to have a father who loves their mama. Ephesians 5:25 through 28, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself.
Yes.
Fathers, love your wives. Love your wives as Christ loves the church and show your children what that means. Give them a good picture of Christ in the church, in your home. Fathers are crowned who lead in the Word of God in prayer. Who lead in the Word of God in prayer. Psalm 78:5 through 7. This is the whole point of Dr. Michael Osborne's sermon on family worship. If you didn't listen to that, especially if you're a parent, listen to that. Psalm 78:5-8, He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know and not forget the works of God. Excuse me, might know them, that the next generation might know them, His commandments, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Charles Spurgeon said, to neglect the instruction of our offspring is worse than brutish. Family religion is necessary for the nation, for the family itself, and for the church of God.
Yes.
Would that parents would awaken to a sense of the importance of this matter. Fathers are to lead in this. And if there's no father in the home, mothers, you must lead in this. You must gather your children around the table and teach them the Bible and the gospel and instruct them. You must bring them here to be instructed under the Word of God. God commands you to do this so that your children will not go to hell.
Yes.
Fathers who are crowned are fathers who spend time with you and teach you and enjoy God and life with you. They do things together. They enjoy life together. They work together. They delight in God together. The children, again, fathers, should know what delights you the most. And it's not the Eagles or any other team or sport. Fathers, I would just challenge you, if you ask your children, what does my daddy get most excited about? What would my daddy not miss anything for? If it's not Christ and His church and His gospel, fathers, you need to do some soul searching. You need to do some soul searching about what grips your heart. And you need to beg God to change that in you and make that evident to your children what matters most to you. What makes you cry? What would you move heaven and earth for? It's got to be the things of God.
Yes.
Your children have got to know that that's number one in your life. And if it's not, fathers, repent. Repent and ask God to change your heart. And do things together. Hang out together. Play together. This is part of what love looks like. It should be joyful. Family worship should be joyful.
Yes.
Let's go into God's Word and see what is your demeanor for family worship time. Get out the Bibles. We got to do this. And then we can watch the game. Well, what is that going to communicate to your kids? Come, son. Let's hear about the greatest man who ever lived.
Yes.
This is amazing. Can you believe this? Can you believe that God did this for Hannah? Opened her womb when she was in despair. Did you see how she prayed? She prayed so passionately that he thought she was drunk. Have you ever prayed passionately like that? I know. Where's Sister Pat? Sister Pat's prayed sometimes in here, and I thought she was drunk, but she was just going after God like I've never seen anybody go after God before in prayer.
Yeah.
Howling, yelling, screaming. Oh! That's how Sister Pat prays. Because she means business when she goes to God. I won't let you go until you bless me, oh God. I never seen a woman pray like that in my life. Praise God for Sister Lena. Children, parents, the children know what most excites you. And don't use it's your demeanor. People like to say that. Oh, I'm just not built that way. You were built that way when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, bro. I've seen you get excited. I've seen you cry over things. I've seen you get excited about stuff. Don't give me that demeanor mess. And friends, this is something you can't fake. What I'm calling you to do is supernatural, and you can't fake this. You have to ask God for it.
Yes.
Lord, give me a joy in you and your word and leading my family that I've never had.
Yes.
I can't do this, God. I can't fake it. I can't fake excitement, Lord. I can't fake tears. I don't want to be a hypocrite. God, give me joy in you. Give me delight in you. Grip my heart with you and your word that I lead my family to a joyous worship of God and not a drudgery that we have to do. God, give me that. Save me if I'm not saved. Calls me to be born again if I'm not. Fathers spend time with their children. They'll teach their children. They'll enjoy God with their children and live life with you. And friends, part of educating your children is deciding where you're going to school your children.
Amen.
And some of you, you've already gone through the public school and your kids are teenagers. I would just say this to you young parents. I'll tell you this. You would have to shoot me in the head before I send my kid to a Philadelphia public school.
Amen.
You would have to shoot me in the head before I send my kids to hell. Do whatever you have to do. Start saving money now. Figure out how to homeschool. Go talk to Michael and Becky and Daniel and Becky and other people who homeschool. Stephanie uses the K-12, right? That's still sort of public school, but at least it's at home and she can have more insight on what's going on to her daughter's mind.
Come on.
Because as Bodhi said, we send our kids to Caesar and wonder why they come back Romans. Talk to Jerry. Jerry never sleeps. He works two jobs so that he can sit at home school his kids. He like goes to a day job and then he works all night too. He's a machine. He's like Michael. We got two machines. And I say machine, that's an endearing term. Like they just work. Like nothing tires them out. Do what you have to do to make sure your children get a Christ-centered education.
Yes.
And not a godless education from Baal.
Yes.
And those parents who can't do that, I would just say more reason to get them here. More reason to get them here if they have to go to Caesar's schools. More reason to get them here. More reason to have family worship with them every night and teach them the ways of God.
Yeah.
We care for our children's soul. And we're responsible for everything they learn in the school and in the home and in the church and everywhere. Fathers, take responsibility. Fathers are a crown to the children who discipline their children. I've mentioned this before, last week even, Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but whoever loves him is diligent to discipline him. Again, parents, start young. Start young. I love the Tan family, a family I grew up with. Issa, you know them, the Tans, right? 10, 12 children, right? Always inviting people over to church after church, filled with people. And I remember Elizabeth Tan, her little baby, still in the, still eating the little baby, and the baby bit one of the kids, and Miss Tan took that little baby's finger and bit that baby back until that baby cried. Some of y'all think that's mean and weird. You know what it's called? Love.
Yeah.
It's called love.
Amen.
Parents with young children, you need to discipline those little babies.
Amen.
You need to discipline them early. The more you discipline them early and spank them early and bite their fingers early, the less trouble you're going to have later on.
Amen.
The Bible says to discipline these children. Don't give them whatever they want to eat. They eat what you made. My mom made me eat what I made. If I didn't like it, tough. I can go to bed hungry. And my mom made us say before we left the table, it don't matter what we thought about the meal. At the end of the meal, to leave the table, we had to say two things. It was good. And may I be excused.
Amen.
I was trained to say that.
Amen.
It was good. And may I be excused.
Amen.
It don't matter what I thought about it.
Amen.
I remember one time my mom made me sit there so long and I so didn't want to eat it. So then I ate it and vomited it all over the floor. And she didn't say, oh, poor little Joseph sick. I got it worse.
Amen.
I love my mom.
Amen.
She disciplined the foolishness out of my rear end.
Yes.
If you love your kids, parents, you're going to discipline them. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Amen.
Eric Lane writes, a man who lived to see his grandchildren was doubly blessed with long life and with progeny, both of which are marks of God's approval. Psalm 91:16, with long life I will satisfy you and show him my salvation.
Yes.
John Kitchen writes, true commandment requires children to honor their father and mother, Exodus 20:12. But it also is incumbent upon the father to give his children reason to do so.
Yes.
What greater earthly incentive should there be to live honorably as a man than to have your children be proud of you and long to model your character? Beloved, God's wisdom leads to wise, godly parents who have wise, godly children who honor their parents and grandparents. And finally, point number 4, Point number four. What kind of grandchildren are a crown? And what kind of children glory in their parents? What kind of grandchildren are a crown, and what kind of children glory in their parents? Well, grandchildren and children who honor and obey their parents. Exodus 20:12, just referenced. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And this is repeated in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise.
Yes.
That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Remember early in the sermon I said, children, you better obey and honor your parents or God is going to get you. This is what I'm referring to.
Amen.
The Bible says, children, if you don't honor your parents, life is going to go terrible for you. God's going to get you. A man has written a whole book on this. He's written a whole book on this commandment with promise. And he asks people, how are things going in your life? Are things going well with your life? Or do you feel like you're cursed and everything is bad and nothing's going right? And he says, the first question you ought to ask is, how do you treat your parents? Because God says, the first commandment with promise is honor them, obey them, and if you don't, God's going to get you. And it will not go well with you. So I'm just warning you. As Vody says, I don't write the mail, I just deliver the mail. And you can't say amen, you ought to say ouch. Those are two of Vodyisms. Fathers, children, grandchildren and children who honor and obey their parents are going to crown their fathers. Colossians 3, 20 through 21, children, obey your parents in everything. For this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. And children, this counts as long as your parents live.
Yes.
There's not this, oh, I turned 18 thing and so now I can just do whatever I want. Especially if you still live in the home and they provide your shelter, your food, your clothing. They give you all that. You're still living under their roof. They're the boss.
Yes.
If you don't want them to be the boss, get a job, get a house, and be a man and live on your own. You can do that. You're free to do that. But even if you do that, you get a job, you work hard, you get your own house, you get married, you have children, you should still honor your parents.
Yes.
You should still seek their advice. You should still seek to please them. In other words, this command never ends.
Yes.
Until they die. You're to honor them that it might go well with you. Children and grandchildren who trust in Jesus are the ones who delight in their father. They're born again. In other words, children, you can't honor your parents rightly until you're born again. You don't have the power to do it. John 1, 12 through 13, but to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Yes.
You have to be born again. Children have to be born again to honor their parents. Parents have to be born again to rightly teach and disciple their children. Again, John Kitchen writes, Proverbs is not shy about unveiling the opposite kind of family relationships. The kind of relationships pictured in this proverb are expected, but they will not be reality without God's supernatural intervention and enabling.
Yes.
Lord, make me a man who is worthy of the admiration and honor of my children is a good prayer. And for children, Lord, make me a child who honors my father and mother.
Yes.
In a way that pleases you.
That's good.
Grandchildren and children glory in their parents who obey God and grow in wisdom. Children, you should seek by God's help, by God's grace, by God's Spirit to obey the first and second great commandments. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength and love your neighbor as yourself. You should seek to obey all that Jesus has commanded. You should be devouring the Word yourself and seeking to obey Him. Even when He calls you to do something hard, like restoring a broken relationship with a parent that you haven't talked to in 10 years. Grandchildren and children are a crown and glory in their parents who follow their grandparents and parents as they follow Christ. So you want to follow your parents' children as they follow Christ. They won't be perfect. Your parents are sinners. Children, your parents are sinners. They're not going to get everything right. They're going to sin against God and against you. They're not perfect. Your pastor is not perfect. We're going to sin. We need Jesus. And parents, you ought to be readily telling your children that. I need Jesus just as much as you, maybe more. But as they follow Christ, children, you want to follow them. You want to live like them. You want to be hard workers.
Yeah.
You want to work hard and provide for yourself. You know, and Proverbs is particularly written to sons. Son, if you want to be a man, man up and provide for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get out of the basement playing video games and be a man. Don't be a little wuss.
Amen.
Get a job and make money and provide for yourself. That's what a man does.
Yes.
And men in the church, we need to tell the little boys in the congregation they need to grow up and be that way.
Yes.
Be a man. Provide. Work hard. You should help your parents with rent. And parents, I would just say you can't enable. You can't enable everlasting adolescence.
That's right.
You got to help them grow up. You got to help them grow up. And sometimes that means you got to do some hard things.
Yeah.
You got to say, 3 months, have a job, or there's a shelter, a Christian shelter that you can go to and learn about Jesus and learn what it means to be a man and work hard.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to do hard things, parents, that are loving.
Yeah.
Because enabling adolescents until they're 45 years old is not loving your child.
That's right.
And so provide, children. Work hard. Be protectors. Be lovers. Lovers of your siblings. Lovers of your parents. Lovers of people in church. Be doing what your parents did. If you're married, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Lead. Lead in the Word of God in prayer. Spend time together. Teach. Enjoy God together. Discipline your children, children, when you grow up and have children. Follow the example of your parents. Grandchildren and children are a crown to their parents who are not like Proverbs 21 and 25. I've left those to the end. Proverbs 21 and 25, he who sires a fool gets himself sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. That's pretty self-explanatory, is it not? We went to this conference yesterday, and one of the professors was teaching on the wisdom in Proverbs, thankfully, and he said so many pastors don't preach on Proverbs, and I'm sitting there like, oh, we do. But one of the reasons he gave for why they don't is they don't need any explanation.
Yeah.
A lot of them. John Kitchen writes, the first line uses the word for fool, which describes the thick-headed dimwit. The second line uses the more extreme word, Nabal. It is used in Proverbs only in verse 17:7 and 30:22. The Nabal is completely godless and beyond reach of wisdom. He is established in his folly and fixed in his viewpoint. He even denies that there is a God to whom he must answer. Abigail's husband, Nabal, is the poster child for such folly.
Yeah.
So these are the kind of fools that they reject God, they reject the gospel, they won't have nothing to do with him, and they it's impossible for them to be saved in and of themselves. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
And John Kitchen writes again verse 25. Note that which is attributed to the father and that which is attributed to the mother in regards to response to the child. The father is provoked to anger; the mother experiences bitterness. The word is used only here, but it is akin to the one found in Proverbs 14:10. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. Truly, no one but a mother can understand the grief and wayward child causes. The grief that a wayward child causes. The authority of the father is defied, thus there is provocation to anger. The tender care of the mother is tossed aside. There is bitter sorrow in her soul. A child holds in his hands the power to inflict untold pain or joy upon his parents.
My word.
The whole person is wrapped up in loving a child.
Yeah.
Children, don't be a fool. Don't grieve your father. Don't cause your mother bitterness and no joy. Don't do this to them. Do you see this is what you're doing? Applications to foolish sons. You are killing your parents. You're killing them in your foolishness, in your rebellion. Do you see your sin? May you sorrow over it. May you grieve over it. May you turn from it.
Yes.
May you see the sorrow you're causing in your family, the grief that you're causing in your family, the pain you're causing in your family, the joylessness you're causing in your family, the bitterness you're causing in your family. Like Cain, who killed Abel. Like Esau, who sought to kill Jacob. Like Eli's sons, who were committing sexual immorality and doing all kinds of wicked things in the temple. Like Absalom, who sought and did take the kingdom from his father. You are destroying your parents and your family. Turn from your sins and live. Turn from your sins and live. Repent and believe the gospel. You must be born again. You must be born again.
Yes.
Because it's only going to get worse. And on the authority of God Almighty, I'm telling you, God will get you. God will take you out. Because the Bible says, if you don't honor your father and mother, it will not go well for you. And so repent, believe the gospel, obey God, obey your parents, and honor them. To parents of foolish sons, pray.
Yes.
Pray. Storm heaven, like we read about Hannah in 1 Samuel. Storm the gates of heaven and pray that your sons and daughters might repent. Because if they don't, they will go to hell. Pray for them. Plead with God. Fast. Maybe you should take Wednesday and skip your food on Wednesday like we do as a church, some of us, and fast particularly for your child's salvation. Teach them the Word of God and the gospel. Just because they don't want to doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It's like the little kid. I want candy. In the candy store. I want candy. I know what I want. I know what I need. I know what makes me happy. Give me candy, Daddy. And Daddy got to say, no, Johnny. You need your vegetables. And Johnny has a tantrum. I want my candy. Adults have tantrums too, my friends. Adults have tantrums. Give them what they need, not what they want.
Amen.
For example, some of you have heard the testimony of this young lady who was a woman and then lived like as a man, a transgender person, and then got saved and is living like God made her to be as a woman. But during that time, her parents refused to call her by her made-up name and refused to use her preferred pronouns. And she hated it. She's like the little child in the cage. I don't want that. But they did not budge because they fear God.
Yes.
They fear God and they know they'll give an account to God. And so it doesn't matter what little Johnny wants. We give little Johnny what he needs and we give him the truth. And after she got saved, she testified that I'm thankful my parents did that.
Yes.
Because it grounded me in reality.
Yes.
I am not a man. I'm a woman, and my parents loved me enough to make me mad and endure my little crybaby attitude and tell me the truth because they loved me, and God used that to ground me to reality and who I really am. Parents, tell your children the truth, even when they cry like a two-year-old and have a tantrum. Tell them the truth in love.
Amen.
Because that's what they need. Share the gospel. Call them to repent. Hold them accountable. Hold them accountable. As I've already said, don't prolong adolescence until they're 45 years old playing video games in your basement. You're not helping your children grow up and be a man or be a woman and take responsibility for themselves. They need a little tough love. And you got to love them. And sometimes love hurts.
Yeah.
Hold them accountable. And to new parents, I'm going to say this, start young.
Yeah.
Start young. Once they're teenagers, it's almost too late. You got to start when little Johnny's in the crib and discipline little Johnny. When he disobeys mommy and daddy, he needs to know that he don't do that. He needs to feel some pain. Yes, share the gospel, but you share the pain. That's what the Proverbs say. If you don't share the pain, you hate your children.
That's right.
And again, I'm not talking about abuse. I'm talking about using the rod in a godly, biblical way. God put a bunch of fat here so that when I bend over, my mom takes that wooden paddle with holes drilled in it so it stings. Bam, bam, bam.
Oh my goodness.
There's pain, but there's no damage. And so we do discipline righteously, godly, not abuse, but we do cause pain. And we break that will. We break that will.
Amen.
Mom broke my will. My mom could break my will just with a look. I was in the car one time, and you know how you go by big old trucks and you do this and they blow the horn? I love doing that. I hope y'all still let me be pastor after I tell you this story. I was a little kid, but I did that, but I stuck up the bird with it. When we got back home, my mom got me out of that car and she took my middle finger and she yanked it back like that. And she said, if you ever do that again, I'll break it off. That's all it took. I ain't never done that again. I love you, Mom. Start young. Start young with the kiddies. Start young training them. Who's boss? Because in doing that, you're training them at God's boss.
Yes.
God's wisdom leads to wise, godly parents who have wise, godly children who honor their parents and grandparents. And beloved, let's end with Jesus, right?
Yes.
Jesus is our perfect model of the perfect son.
Yes.
The son like no other. Jesus is the crown and glory of his Father. Remember, God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus is the perfect son, the obedient son, the greatest, wisest, most loving, most God-glorifying son who has ever lived. Yet, on that cross, he was treated like the most foolish son who has ever lived. He was counted as the fool, as the worst fool that a son could ever be, so that you and all of your foolishness and all your sin might be saved. Remember Jesus, who honored his mother to the very end.
Yes.
John 19, 25 through 27, standing by the cross of Jesus, where his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Jesus, in his greatest hour of pain and loss and death, was caring and obeying and loving and honoring his mother. There's no one like Jesus. And beloved, did you know that the Bible even calls Jesus a father? Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And that does not mean, as the modalists think, that Jesus, the Son and the Father are the same person. What that means is that Jesus is Father-like. He's Father-like, such that even in Luke 8:42, when he healed this woman of her flow of blood, he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Like a perfect father, Jesus provides, protects, and loves like no other. Jesus is also the perfect husband. Jesus is your prophet, priest, and king. And Jesus delights to spend time with you and wants you to spend time with him. Jesus always enjoys his father like no other and invites you into that very enjoyment. And Jesus disciplines you. He disciplines you when you sin. Because he loves you so much. Beloved, Christ Jesus, like a father, came. There's no one like him, none the same. Provides, protects, and loves, exclaim, gentle and lowly, strong but not tame. He gave himself to bear our shame. Under God's wrath, he set aflame. He died and rose. Death overcame by faith alone. His sons became. Now, Christ-likeness is our aim. God the Father, praise his name. God the Son, we spread his fame. God the Spirit, hearts in flame. Our triune God, give all acclaim. Our crown. Our glory. He's our aim. Father, we ask that you would instruct us by your Spirit today. Lord, we ask that fathers would hear what they need to hear. We pray that mothers would hear what they need to hear. We pray that children would hear what they need to hear. And we pray that you would make Awney Baptist Church filled with God-fearing, Christ-loving, humble, biblical families that seek to live out the wisdom of this proverb for the glory of your name. Lord, save parents who aren't saved. Save children who aren't saved.
Yes.
And give us the wisdom we need to live as you call us to live. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Amen.